So I want to continue this morning with a series I started last week. I'm calling it Thy Kingdom Come. And I'm really trusting for a shift in our hearts and our lives. I'm very excited about this because I believe God is wanting each and each of us to realize what He's put inside of us. He's put His Spirit on the inside of us, and so He desires to minister through us. I shared last week about a word or a picture that somebody received in church at one of our prayer meetings, and he saw somebody with a dove in their hand, or he saw himself with a dove in his hand, and he was sort of stroking the dove's head. And then he says, in the next moment he saw himself take the dove and throw the dove against the wall. And very graphic picture. But I really feel it's a word for us, for many of us. I believe that dove represents the Holy Spirit. And so many of us, we desire the power of the Spirit in our lives. We desire to hear from God. We desire God to show Himself strong on our behalf. But at the same time, I think some of us, many of us, grieve the Holy Spirit. Not knowingly, not necessarily on purpose, but because we don't actually know how to operate, how we should relate to God. And one of the things I shared about what Leanne shared now is obedience. It's one thing to say, God, I want the supernatural. I want miracles. God, I want you to show your glory. God, I want you to do something profound. But then you say, but Lord, on my terms. And how I want it and when I want it. And that's not going to work. The only way we will truly experience the fullness of God is if we give God a blank check. It's like, God, your agenda, your way, your timing, Lord, wherever, whenever. If we don't come to the place of that surrender to the Holy Spirit, then I don't believe we're going to be able to experience the fullness of the Spirit, because I believe then we're grieving the Spirit. We're saying, I want relationship with the Holy Spirit, but I'm not willing to obey the Spirit. Okay, so that's sort of what we shared about last week, And so we spoke about our hearts, and we spoke about sort of selfishness in our hearts, and I spoke of, you know, obedience or disobedience, being willing to follow God, all those things. And so that's the starting point. That's why I shared about preparing the way. We want to prepare the way for God to move in our midst and in this town. But where does it start? It starts in your heart. It starts in my heart. And so that's what I sort of summed up last week was, the kingdom must first come in our hearts before the kingdom can come through us. Okay? So it's one thing to say, God, change East London. But it really starts in here. It's to say, God, let your kingdom come on the inside of me. Let your will be done on the inside of me. Let your reign, the rule of Christ be established on the inside. And then the natural consequence will be God will start moving through us. Okay, so first in us, before through us. And I just want to take it a bit further. I want to speak about raising the standard. Raising the standard. And I'm going to read this verse in a moment, but before I read it, I learned a very powerful lesson a few years ago. We were in Cape Town, and we did what they called soul winning. So once a week, we would go to Canal Walk. It's a mall, for those who don't know. And every week, we'd be there for most of the year. I don't remember what day of the week it was. Thursday, I can't remember. But every week, we'd be there, and some of us, the guys and people will be there. We pray together, and then we'll go out and share with people. Now, during that year, I probably shared the gospel with about 100 plus people. Just random people in the mall. Yeah, I know, that's freaky, I know. But I just felt I needed to share with people. Anyway, so we did that. And it was great. I was amazed how open people were. It's very few people that came a little bit negative. But the rest were quite open. But after evaluating the year, I realized the fruit wasn't so great. It wasn't like I spoke to them and they fell on their knees and repented and say, oh, what must I do to be saved? Okay, it wasn't like that. They were quite open. We had good chat and I sowed some seed and that was great. But I came to a point, I said, God, but this, is that it? Is that the fullness of your glory? Can I just share a little bit and then I hope something will happen in due time? And so the one evening, nobody else pitched. It was just one other guy, just me and another guy, and we were going into the mall again. And so I prayed and said, God, I'm not speaking to anybody until you tell me to. I want your spirit to lead me. I want your spirit to show me who is ready for your message. And so all we did was walk through the mall, the two of us, and we were just praying. Saying, God, show us. Who should we speak to? Lord, lead us. You know who's ready. And at some point, after, say, about half an hour, just walking through the mall and praying, I felt God showing me a specific couple. And so I went to them, and we started to share with them. And it was within a few minutes, they were in tears. And within a few minutes, they said they want to give their lives to the Lord. And so we took them outside and prayed with them, and they were just crying and weeping before God. And it was just so special to me, because I realized again that is the power of God's Spirit. He knows who is ready. He knows who is willing to receive the message now. And the Holy Spirit empowers us to make that message powerful. So that really spoke to me. And I've been doing the religious thing now for a year. I've been speaking with people and it's been good. It's been great. I've learned so much. It wasn't as effective until I actually operated by the power of the Spirit. And I would suggest that there are many of us also doing a religious thing, which is good, and you are learning and you're growing. That's wonderful. But it will never have the impact God has designed it to be or to have until we start living by the power of the Spirit. And that's what raising the standard is about. If you look at the scripture, Isaiah 59 verse 19, it says, so shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west, and his glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him. Different translations say it differently, but the New King James Version, yes, I like this one. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will raise up a standard against him. If we look at our world currently, it truly is a flood of wickedness, a flood of lies and confusion and hopelessness. It truly is a flood. And if you and I try in our own ability to bring change, I don't think we're really going to make a dent. Effect, impact will be near zero when we do it in our own ability. Speaking about zero, it is now official. I am a zero. How do I know that? Went to Woolies in this week, and they give you these numbers for the amount of pieces of clothing. And so I went with Sonic, and she got a 3 or a 4, and they gave me a 0. So it's official. We all are zeros, if you don't know. In our own ability, I'm a 0. In your own ability, you're a 0. We cannot make a change in this world in our own ability. But when the Spirit of the Lord raises up a standard, anything's possible. When the Spirit of the Lord raises the standard, things change. Heaven invades earth. when the Spirit of the Lord, the kingdom comes. And that's what Jesus has shared with us and said, pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. How, God, when your Spirit comes, when your Spirit moves upon us. Look at this scripture, Matthew 12:28. And this speaks about the kingdom coming. And it says, but if I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, this is Jesus speaking. He said, surely the kingdom has come upon you. Now, I don't necessarily want to focus on the demon part, but I want to say, but if we do something by the Spirit of God, surely it's evidence, it's proof that the kingdom of God has come upon you. So it's more than just somebody saying a prayer. For instance, when somebody who does not believe in God, who is not a Christian, who doesn't have faith in Jesus, when it's more than just praying a prayer and saying, I am now a believer. And it's more than that. It's the Spirit of God coming upon them and the kingdom coming on the inside of them and upon each of us. Okay, but it's important to see that if I do something by the Spirit of God, surely the kingdom has come upon you. And why has the kingdom come? Why has the kingdom come? Because the King is there. Jesus is ascended, he's in heaven, but he sent his Holy Spirit here on earth. And he said, as he left, he said, I will always be with you. I will always be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. I will never leave you alone. I'm going to be there with you. Lord, how? I don't see you. Lord, by your Spirit. Jesus Christ walking amongst us again. The same power available as when he walked on earth through the Spirit. So I want to share three things to see the kingdom come in our lives. Three aspects about seeing the kingdom come. Now the first one is a question I want to ask you. What are you living for? And this is where it starts. What are you living for? What are you living for? I want to put the graph on there. We've done this now a few weeks. The dot is life on earth. It is short. It is quick. It is over. It's a breath. Let's breathe again. Breathe. Can you breathe out? Breathe out. Okay, your life is over. That's how long your life is on earth. It's just a breath. Okay? It's really important to understand this. The line is life in heaven. The line is eternity. The line is what actually is significant. The line is what matters. What are you living for? Are you living for the dot or are you living for the line? And let me take this one step further. Are you living for the kingdom of God, which is the line, or are you living for the kingdom of man, which is the dot? We are all builders. We are all builders of one kingdom or another. The question is which? Are we building just man's kingdom, which will fade away, or are we building God's kingdom, which will last forever? Kingdom. There are so many kingdoms being built, but the question is, where's our heart at? Matthew 6:33. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added. So Jesus is saying, guys, let me give you a tip again. Wise investment of your life, of your time, of your energy. Seek first the kingdom of God. That which is lasting. That which will stand. The rest will fade away. You have to remind yourself this on a daily basis. The rest will fade away. God's kingdom will stand forever. So our primary concern should be the kingdom, God's kingdom. And I believe that starts with the local church. It's like where God has placed you, that's where the kingdom starts. When the local church is blessed, the kingdom is extended. But it doesn't stop there. It's much more than that. It's rejoicing when the church down the road is growing. It's rejoicing when God does something awesome through somebody else. Why can we rejoice? Because we're eternally minded. This kingdom building, we're all doing the same thing. It's not just me and myself and I. It's not just my little thing. It's much more than that. Okay, but seek first the kingdom of God. If that isn't our passion, the kingdom will not, it can't come. Okay, so the motivational part, that's the first thing. Living for the kingdom. Second thing, living in the kingdom. So the first one is living for the kingdom. The second one is living in the kingdom. What does that mean? Living in the kingdom. Another graph. I'm an engineer originally. So on the bottom you have your x-axis. On the side you have your y-axis. Okay? Most of us, I think, should know that. Now, living in the kingdom. How does that work? This is amazing, and Pastor Sias shared this with us in the week. We had a pastor summit, and we were talking, or Pastor Fred was talking, about confidence. And he said, and he compared it to rugby. And he said, sometimes you get these Australians, you know, they just believe. You know, they, over the years, they have this arrogant self-knowledge or self-confidence. Especially if you listen to the commentators. I mean, the Aussies, it's horrible rugby, and they're still thinking they're wonderful, you know. But they've got this knowing we can do it. The Americans have it as well. The people of America just believe they can do anything. Yes, we can. And yes, they do. It's the power of that confidence, the power of that knowing we can. We're America, you know. Obviously, it's not necessarily eternal. It's a bit worldly and earthly and all those things. But there's a principle there. But then Pastor Sias shared that he went to a sort of a conference in Natal somewhere. And he went forward for the speaker, international speaker, to pray for him. And this guy doesn't know him at all. And then as he was praying for him, he didn't know that Pastor Sias is part of a group of churches or in leadership of a group of churches. And then the guy just said, I see a graph. And at the bottom it says confidence. And I see that you as a ministry, that as your confidence increases, your impact will increase. And that really spoke to me. That really spoke to me. Because obviously it comes down to faith. But it's a confidence of being in the kingdom of God, a confidence of knowing that God has called you, a confidence that God lives on the inside of you, a confidence that He has called you to impact this world, a confidence. And as the confidence increases, the impact will increase. I believe that's living in the kingdom. It's the royal, you realize who you are. You realize who you are in Christ, not in yourself, but in God. And I shared about this last week. You and I, we are temples of the Holy Spirit. So the Spirit of God lives on the inside of you. You and I, we are carriers of God's presence. Wherever you go as a believer, Christ goes. But do we live with that type of confidence when you walk into your office? Do you now think that now God has come into this place? Now you're not God, but you bring God's presence into a place. If you think you're God, then we should pray for you. But I think that's where the challenge often comes, when it's like it can seem arrogant. And I believe confidence and faith borders on arrogance. In a sense, it will look arrogant. But it's not arrogant when God has spoken to you. So, I'm sorry, God has said, this is how it's going to be. Rick Warren is a pastor in America, one of the largest churches in America. And I read one of his books. And he tells the story that God spoke to him and told him how things are going to be in terms of the church that he's been called to plant. So at his first church service, about 40 visitors, 20 people of his Bible study pitch. So there's 60 people. Then he reads a document and he says as follows, this church will have 20,000 members. This church will have 75 plus acres of land where the buildings will be like as such and such and such. This church will send out thousands of missionaries all over the world, etc., etc. Now, is that arrogant? It certainly looks arrogant to me. How can you do that? Well, today they have got more than 20,000 members. They're sending out 15,000 missionaries all over the world, and they have more than 75 acres of land and property and things. Why? Because God has showed him. That's going to be confidence. Confidence in what God has said. Confidence in what God has revealed. Living in the kingdom, a heavenly confidence. Acts 4, verse 29 to 31. Now, let me sketch the scenario for you. This is the beginning of the book of Acts. The Holy Spirit has relatively recently been poured out. And so things are happening. Miracles are happening. And the religious leaders are unhappy with these disciples. And so they call them in, Peter and John. They're called in by the religious leaders. They are interrogated, and then they're threatened. If you don't stop speaking in the name of Jesus, we're going to basically take you out. Stop it. So they were threatened. And then Peter and John goes back to the other guys and tells them about it, and then they pray. They take it to God, and they say, "Now, Lord, look on their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word by stretching out your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus." And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. And things shifted. Because they knew they were in the kingdom, they were a part of the kingdom of God and heaven. And so they had access to supernatural resources where they received from God boldness, and signs and wonders started to manifest. It's not about personality. It's not about being, "I'm an introvert, I can't speak. I can't do it." It's not about personality. It's about, are you receiving supernatural boldness from God to do His will? And that's what you need to trust the Lord for. That's what you need to pray. Say, "God, give us, Lord, give us the boldness to obey you despite the opposition, despite the flood coming against us, despite people even threatening you and saying you can't talk about Jesus at this place or this company or this school or wherever." Where you receive boldness and you step out. I believe so many of us are intimidated, held back by fear, held back by things that keep us from stepping out. And we must trust God. "I'm not looking to myself, I'm looking to you. Give me the boldness." And so we find this pattern in Scripture. It started with Jesus, where he proclaimed the message of Christ, and then he demonstrated the kingdom. And then you find the disciples proclaiming the message of the kingdom and then demonstrating the kingdom. In other words, the message was backed up by the power of the kingdom. And I believe that's what God wants to do in us as well. A supernatural boldness. A supernatural boldness that comes from God. It's absolutely liberating. And then the second part of this, living in the kingdom. The first one is a kingdom confidence, and the second part is a kingdom mindset. Matthew 10, verse 7 to 8. Now here Jesus speaks to his disciples, and he gives them a sort of a commission. And he says, "As you go," as you go, as you obey me, as you follow me, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. So if we look at Scripture, it says it was always meant to be, there was always meant to be kingdom power following up the kingdom message. It was never supposed to be you and I trying to persuade somebody to be a Christian, or you and I trying to do something in our own ability. God knew it wouldn't work. It can't work. I don't know about you, but I don't want to live by my own abilities. I want to live by the power of God. I want to live by the by kingdom, by heavenly resources. And so I want to read the story to you as a testimony of a man, Dr. Luis Flores Olmedo. And he was a professor of pedagogy. Don't know how you say that, but it's an expert in styles of instruction. So he was a professional teacher. And he was in the Department of Philosophy of the Central University in Quito, and there's lots of interesting words here, in Ecuador. But imagine this for a moment. You've got a professor in philosophy. Now, I was at a university, and I know the people that come out of the philosophy departments. They are very difficult and very hard to persuade concerning Christianity. Now, this guy was an expert in it. He was a professor. He's written 5 textbooks. He's written 200 journal articles. His studies took him to Europe, Egypt, and the Soviet Union. And he wrote the booklet. This booklet was How to Raise the Ideal Atheist Family. And in the booklet, his wife and his 4 children were used as the model for a godless family. And so he took particular delight in ridiculing the faith of anyone who believe in God. So he had some fun with people. He ridiculed people who believed in God. Okay, anybody would like to have a nice argument with this guy? Youthful ignorance is wonderful. I've been around this bush. I have so many times argued with people, and I've gave them evidence upon evidence upon evidence about the historicity of Christ and his resurrection and all of that. But if they don't want to believe, they won't. Doesn't matter how much evidence you give them. But look at this guy now. There was an evangelist, Yeye Avila. He held an evangelistic campaign in their city. And Flores's wife, the professor's wife, and oldest daughter, Gabriela, were invited. And both were physically healed and became Christians as a result thereof. Gabriela also spoke in tongues. The younger children also became Christians. Then Dr. Flores arrived home and found his family on their knees praying for his salvation. Gabriela said to him, "Daddy, I'm going to prove to you once and for all that there is a God and that Jesus Christ is alive today. I'm going to sing for you in a language I've never learned." Gabriela then proceeded to sing as the Holy Spirit gave her words. She sang in Russian, then German, then Italian, then French, and then finally in English. It was music that exalted the Lord. Dr. Flores was familiar with each language, and he knew that Gabriela did not know them. The experience left him shaken. He did not sleep that night. The next morning, he canceled all of his classes and locked himself inside his office, where he trembled because of the presence of a power he was unable to deal with. That evening, he returned home to find his family praying for him again. Gabriela again approached him this time laying hands on him and prophesying over him with great authority. The Holy Spirit even revealed to Gabriela specific hidden sins in his life. The professor had had enough. He dropped to his knees praying, "Lord, I am a fool," and offered his life to God. At the same time, he was healed of a displaced fifth lumbar vertebra, hemorrhoids, and numerous allergies. He also spoke in tongues, and his conversion stuck. In March 1989, he was ordained and became pastor of Abundant Christian Life Center, where he led a rapidly growing flock. Would anybody have argued that man into the kingdom? No. But the power of God persuaded him. And I just realize again, God, we need that. We need the operation of the Spirit in our lives. We need to hear your voice. We need to lift the standard. And it's not really just about us. It's because of other people. We will be a zero impact unless the Spirit of God empowers us and speaks to us and shows us who to speak to, when to speak to, what to speak to. And so I want to, in a sense, want to encourage us to just be open to this. But it starts off by saying, God, I'm going to first seek your kingdom. Your kingdom is my passion, so that the focus must be right. We need to live for the kingdom. Then we need to live in the kingdom. In other words, with resources from heaven. And then the last thing, just very shortly, initiating the kingdom. How do we initiate? How do we cause the kingdom to come? What's the starting point? I believe it's prayer. It says, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Matthew 11, verse 12. It says there, "From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force." In other words, there's a war, spiritual war happening behind the scenes. And the only way you can win it is if you win it in the Spirit, where God's force, God's power is made available to us and then through us. And so, I want to encourage us. If the ushers can maybe just hand out the cards. We've got these prayer cards we want to give to everybody. So just take one, send the rest on. And I'll explain to you what this is about. With the professor, his family started to pray for him by name. And what's always amazing for me about stories like Dr. Flores is that his daughter, she was a young believer. She was probably a Christian for a day, maybe two. And yet the power of God was in operation in her and through her. So in other words, you don't have to be a Christian for a very long time to see the power of God operate through you. And so the idea behind the prayer cards is that we want to initiate the kingdom. How? We want to ask God. We want to ask the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, give me three names or four names or five names of people that you want me to pray for. Those who do not know you. Holy Spirit, speak to me. Just show me. And so there's a process of seeking God for who you should be praying for. And then you write down those names on the card. And you take the card, you put it in your wallet. and you just start praying for them. And just be open to whatever God wants you to do, whatever, whenever. It's an amazing testimony. A lady in our church in Stellenbosch, she shared that some years ago, so 10 years ago, so she had got one of these cards, and she wrote down the names of two ladies. But she said, these girls, these ladies were unsavable. Unsavable. That's how she shares. There was no way. And then 5 years later, both of them believers. And they were absolutely unsavable. I can give you so many stories of testimonies of people where one person prayed for somebody and then the kingdom came at some stage. So I've made a shift in my lifestyle. I don't meet many unbelievers. I'm stuck with you. And most of you are Christians, and I love you, and that's wonderful. But I really want to meet some people who don't know God every now and again. And so I've been going to the gym for the last few years, but I always put on my earphones, and I'm focused. I don't really look at people. I just nod, and I'm just doing my thing. And I realize that's the one area I can actually meet people who do not know God. So I've taken off my earphones with my wonderful worship music, and I've made a point of going up to people, meeting them, greeting them, making stupid jokes, trying to connect with people. Like this one guy, he is huge. He is huge. He is lifting up weights that I don't know how it's possible to do it, but it's massive. And then I've got my little weights. And so at some stage, I'm going back to this rack where I put all these big weights. I put my little weight down. And then I looked at the guy and I smiled and said, hey, when you finish with yours, you can use mine. He laughed. He laughed at me. But I'm trying to see where can I meet with people. And so I've got some of the names of the guys, and I put down their names on a list, and I'm praying through their names. And when I go into the gym, I pray for the gym. And when I go drive to the gym, I pray for them by name. And I say, God, save them. And the Lord is laying specific people on my heart. And so I want to encourage you. Seek first the kingdom. Position yourself so the kingdom can come in somebody's life and heart. And just be open. Okay, so I want to encourage you tomorrow evening, bring the cards along, and we're going to see if there's opportunity to pray maybe together as well, and just allow the Spirit to show us who to pray for, to pray by name for somebody that God puts upon your heart. I'm very excited about this. I really think it can be amazing. And then I also want to encourage you to join us for the SOS, the School of the Supernatural, to learn how to hear the voice of God this coming weekend. Amen. So, I just want to pray for us. Worship, guys. Father, we praise you. God, we thank you for the shift you are bringing into our lives, Lord, into our hearts. Lord, where it's not just about me and myself, but Lord, where it is about your kingdom and your love for people. And so, Father, this morning we pray that you would raise the standard by your Holy Spirit. Raise the standard in our hearts and lives, Lord. Let your kingdom come in our hearts and through us. And so, Father, we pray for these prayer cards. May they be a holy tool in your hands. We ask, Holy Spirit, that you would speak to us. We ask, Holy Spirit, that you'd lay specific names upon our hearts. people that don't know you, who haven't had the privilege of meeting you like we have. Holy Spirit, we confess, Lord, of living life and Christianity by our own ability most of the time. And we desire that to change, Lord. We desire our lives to be marked by the Holy Spirit. Lord, when the enemy comes in like a flood, you will raise up a standard by your Spirit. And so we welcome you, Holy Spirit. We welcome you, Spirit of God, to work in us and to work through us. God, we bless your name. God, we bless your name. So I just want to ask if you feel that you lack a God confidence, that boldness, just to step out, to reach out to people. Just that bold confidence to know and to initiate the kingdom. Would you maybe stand and I pray for you? If you want to ask God, the Holy Spirit, to give you a confidence, a boldness. Worship your Lord. Worship you, God. Thank you for your presence here, Lord. Blessed be your name, O God. Blessed be your name, O Lord. I just want to be obedient to what I feel in my spirit. I just feel that I need to just call you forward, that we can just pray for you guys here in front and anoint you. Could you come forward if you're standing? Just walk forward and just come and stand here that we can pray with you. And we're going to take some oil and anoint you. Just welcome the Holy Spirit into your life, into your body. Just allow the Spirit of God just to come flood your life. Repeat the following after me and declare, I am a temple of the Holy Spirit and Christ lives in me. I surrender to the Holy Spirit. I surrender to the Lordship of Christ. I welcome the spirit of boldness. I welcome a kingdom confidence. Lord, have your way in me. empower me to extend your kingdom. Just pray, Lord. Just say, Lord, give me boldness. In the midst of the flood of darkness, give me boldness and lift up the standard. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Lift up the standard through your Holy Spirit in me. God, we worship you. Just allow the Lord to work in your heart. And yes, God, we ask for a divine boldness, a heavenly confidence. We acknowledge, God, that in ourselves we cannot do it, but through your Spirit all things are possible. We worship you, God. Receive. Receive the Spirit of God. Receive a confidence and boldness.